You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, opening day is now behind us, and we're going to review what's happening in these last couple of days. I'm Allison Sutter here to talk about the Houston Astros with Brian McTaggart, who has been in New York for just over a month, it feels like, actually. He's only been there a few days, but it's been a long... interesting note, with the Final Four being in Houston, that's why the Astros started the season on the road. They normally do not. Obviously, they have a roof and are located in a very nice weather town, so they usually host opening day, but they had to go somewhere else for Final Four. And they even the actual team, I believe, a day early, that earlier than they normally would, because there were absolutely no hotels anywhere in the city for coaches and guys that just made the team at the end of spring training and don't have anywhere to go. So they had to actually go to New York on Saturday. And now it's just really cold. So, Tags, what's it been like up there for these guys trying to play these games?
Yeah, well, it's been pretty tough. I mean, when we got to the ballpark on opening day on Tuesday, after they were postponed Monday, there was actually ice on the field, and the players came out in layers, and they took batting practice pretty much just alone, to where there was just a couple of guys out there shagging because they didn't want the players standing out there on the field during BP. So, and I think they're going to do that again probably the rest of their time here in New York. So I know Rasmus and Gomez wore caps that covered their faces and heads and all that stuff. So you definitely have to bundle up, because it was really cold, and when the wind blowed, it made it feel like it was in the 20s.
So I want to talk about the controversial play, of course, that occurred on, Wednesday. This occurred on Tuesday. So basically, Carlos Correa, who was clearly running inside the baseline, or outside the baseline, I guess you can call it whatever you want to call it. He was not in the baseline. And Adelin Betances made a throw to first base that went over the first baseman's head. And the umpires, Joe Girardi was screaming for it to be called interference, and the umpires disagreed with that. What was your take on that, and what were the players saying about it?
Well, Correa himself, I think, echoed what everybody was saying, that if Betances would have hummed one in there and hit him in the back, that he probably would have got the call. Instead, he tried to throw it over Correa, who's 6'4", and of course, it ended up sailing in way higher than that. So I think the rules state that it has to be a good throw to get that call, and that certainly was not a good throw. But, yeah, Correa was clearly way inside the baseline, and I think if Betances just hits him, then they get the call, and you know, maybe it's a different game, because it was 2-2 at that point, and then Altuve scores the go-ahead run, and they score a couple more runs that inning. But you know, I think Correa knew what he was doing. I think he knew when he started running, if you watch, he was just probably just a few inches away from the ball itself. I mean, he could have just reached over and stepped on it. So I think he knew that if he was going to really create a difficult angle for Betances, and he certainly took advantage of, you know, things you can do. And I mean, by the rule book, I think the right call was made, even though Girardi, I think, did his best to get thrown out and ended up playing the game under protest.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of understand where he's coming from. The comment he made after was they're basically telling us you have to hit a player. And I'm not sure that that's really the way you want to go about it. I mean, I get, like, the strategy, and I get kind of the gamesmanship, and you're looking for an advantage. But, I mean, I just have a problem, like, accepting that as a reason. Like, well, he knew what he was doing. He's running inside the baseline, and that's okay, because he's trying to, if he wants to be, you know, if they're going to call him out, then he needs to get hit. I don't know. I just find this whole thing, like, a little bit disconcerting, that's the only way that you're going to get a call. Like, why? I mean, if you're immediately not in the baseline, shouldn't that just be a penalty?
Yeah, I mean, they would have to enforce the rule where you run in that little alley there, 45-foot lane, and then I think the rules state you get the last step at the base, you can come back fair, because the base is in fair territory. So, but if they're not going to enforce the rule, I don't blame players for doing what they want to do. And hey, if Correa wants to, or anybody else wants to, put their body on the line and get pegged in order to reach base and score a run, I mean, that's on them. So, that's just the way the game's been played, it seems like.
Yeah. I guess you just got to throw at him next time. So, okay. So we'll move on from that. Of course, watching Carlos Correa hit an opposite field home run, that was just a thing of beauty. And when you see it, to me, it's not an isolated incident when you're talking about Carlos Correa, because it's like, my goodness, what kind of year is this man going to have? I mean, really, the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, it was just a very impressive home run. I mean, the ball was not carrying here on Tuesday. The wind was coming in. It was cold. Probably not easy to grip a bat, swing a bat, especially, you know, a pitcher like Tanaka. But he really got into one, hit it the opposite way. And if you look at what else he did in the game, I mean, that was his only hit. But he drove in a run with a fielder's choice, had a diving catch, just did a little of everything. And, you know, I'd be shocked if he's not in the MVP race at the end of the year. I mean, Mike Trout is incredible, and there's other incredible players. But I think by the end of this year, we're going to look at Correa being up there with Trout and Harper as maybe the three greatest players in the game now, and they're all so young, and it's just going to be exciting watching them for the next 10 years. But he's special, man. He's one of those guys that when he comes up to bat, you kind of just stop what you're doing and watch and make sure you're paying attention, because it could get real fun real quick.
Yeah, and he's having himself a good old time too, which is a lot of players, I think, forget to have fun. But he seems to be having a really good time playing baseball, which is what this is all about. And another guy who enjoys playing baseball, hides it a little bit better, but Dallas Keuchel, who, I have to hand it to him. He had a really good outing. It seemed like it might be a little bit dicey early, but he really hung in there. How many innings did he go?
He went seven innings after throwing a ton of pitches early. And he, with the cold conditions, he says that he uses his sweat to help him grip the ball a little bit. And of course, there was no sweat to be had. It was 36 degrees, and he said the ball felt chalky. And, you know, he walked four guys in the first three innings, and Dallas Keuchel just doesn't walk guys like that. So it was kind of shocking to see. He ended up, you know, limiting damage. But I think once he kind of figured out how to pitch in this cold weather, he retired 11 in a row and looked like the Dallas Keuchel of old, and certainly ended up getting the win after the Astros rallied with the three runs in the eighth inning. So, he was terrific, other than the walks and, giving up the double that landed right on the line, the two-run double to Castro. He was every bit as good as we've seen him all last year.
Yeah, did you see any of the newspapers with the previewing the game? It's just fun to see the New York tabloids with, his face was on the cover of one of them. It's like, oh, no, not him again. Did you see that one?
Yeah, you can't help but, walk around and you see the newspaper stands and you see Keuchel's face, or, they get the reactions after the game. Every reaction is over the top. They lose one game and it's the end of the world. But it's kind of funny, and I'm sure the players get a kick out of that kind of stuff too. But it seems like we've been in New York forever and only played one game. So it's we got a long way to go.
I know. I feel like you've been gone forever. And you still, yeah, it was like four nights off in New York. They're all day games and then the off day. And I just hope everyone is staying safe and staying out of trouble. So we will be waiting for you here in Houston on Monday with a closed roof, because I think it's going to rain. So safe travels, and we will see you next week.
Okay, I'm ready. See you then.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.